Privileged to have with us today as our speaker at this, our first devotional of the new year, one of the devoted servants of the church, a man who served his first mission before the turn of the century, and who has been faithful and diligent in the performance of his duties ever since, and who is now one of our members of the Quorum of the Twelve. We're honored in having and delighted to turn the time over to Elder George Q. Morris.
My dear brethren and sisters, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to meet with you in this thrilling gathering. This is a unique gathering and a splendid representation of an unusual student body. You're attending a university that is absolutely unique in all the world. As I've said before, it's called the Brigham Young University, but it is the University of the Kingdom of God. And in that is its uniqueness. You have come into a great blessing to be able to attend this university. And incidentally, it entails upon you some responsibilities. I congratulate you with all my heart, all of you. Whether you're members of the church or not, I suppose there are a number who are not, that you are here attending this school. You who are not members of the church are in the precincts of the church and in its pervading spirit. Now, it is said that you can't place an old head on young shoulders. In one sense, that may be true. In another sense, it definitely is not true. And I desire to say something about that, if I may enjoy your sustaining faith and the blessings of the Lord to guide me, for I am dependent entirely upon Him. I presume by that saying is meant that you have to have experience in life to learn life, which is very true. Yet some people live all their life and never learn life. Some people live to great age and never have an old head on old shoulders. I presume by an old head we mean that one has understanding, has maturity, thought, and action, and attitude, wisdom, an understanding of the principles of life and the issues of life. And I presume would be included the ability to live life as it should be lived. Now, I think this institution is here to put that kind of an old head on all the young shoulders who attend this university. And they're equipped to do it. It's the business of this church to give people understanding, integrity, strength, wisdom, to give them the truth at any and every age Prophet Joseph Smith, when he was in his middle teens, had more spiritual wisdom than all the combined scholars and educated men of the world. He knew that God lived, and he knew that we are in his image. And he knew that his son, Jesus Christ, lived. And that he was vouched for by his Father and certified to as one who could speak for him. Now you see, that wasn't a matter of the passing of years. That was a matter of experience. No one else in the world knew that so clearly and so definitely. And he could have known no other fact so important to him in his life as that fact of the existence of God and the Son as he saw them and conversed with them. Now it's because that happened that we're assembled here today. If that had never happened, you would never be here today. And there would be no such thing as a Brigham Young University. There would be no such thing as a Mormon temple in Salt Lake City and a Mormon people scattered through the West. All these things and the things that will happen through the coming decades and coming centuries stem from that event on that day. Now you are here to gain that truth and other truths related to it. You are unique in that you believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ and belong to the true church of Jesus Christ, and that you are learning in connection with your other secular studies of the doctrines of that church. Now those doctrines again are unique. The doctrines in this church have come from God. They're not man-made. They're not the speculation of men, results of the speculation of men. We are founded upon the principle of revelation. One scientific writer who wrote as a scientist to establish the fact that science should accept the idea of God or change their whole scientific system, made this statement as the opening sentence in his book. Two different paths may eventually lead to the comprehension of man. The first, revelation, is a direct road, but closed to a great many people and independent of rational thought. Those who can make use of it are fortunate. The second, on the contrary, is strictly rational and scientific. Now, I should like to make an observation regarding his statement in the first part of it. It is literally true that few people have access to revelation. By that we mean the revealed Word of God. By that we mean the contact with authorized servants of God who are appointed and called to speak with authority and teach the doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very, very few people ever have that opportunity. It is estimated by some that there have been 7 dispensations of the gospel. Others may have another idea, but aside from the technicality of it, the fact remains that only for a comparatively short time and only after long intervals of time has the gospel ever been upon the earth. Have people ever been in contact with the revealed Word of God? You have the distinction of having that contact and of being taught those doctrines that come from God and not from man. Now I think that should be borne in mind, because you're constantly faced with religious doctrines and teachings that have originated in the absence of revelation. Many of the prevailing notions that you'll come in contact with and which will be offered to oppose your views and to challenge your views are views that are not related to revelations of God directly and have had their origin during a period when the world has been in spiritual darkness for centuries. Isn't it rather unfortunate, at least very significant, that the prevailing notions of Christianity should be those that were brought into form and shape and accepted and established in the creeds of the churches when there was no Christian church in the world, and men had no way of knowing just what a Christian church was and just what the Christian doctrines are. Because men may only know those truths as they receive them from men who have the authority to teach them. And for nearly 1800 years that was absent. And yet we're faced with the doctrines that originated under those conditions. Let's remember that. Let's remember it. Now, on the other hand, you who are here are living in a dispensation of the gospel. Your teachings are based on revelation. And it isn't an intelligent thing to be ignorant of them. And it's a dangerous and a fatal mistake to reject them. We cannot be ignorant of or reject the counsels of God without being destroyed. Now, when the idea is explained, we're said we're very narrow. I was talking with some friends the other night in New York. They raised the question of religion. And they spoke about some things that they did or didn't believe in, referred to the differences, and then each of them said, oh, well, There's only one God, which meant, I presume, that anybody who believed in the God was on the right track. Then we're told that all roads lead to London, all streams flow into the ocean, which means that all churches are doing the same thing and believing the same God, and therefore are all acceptable. And they say we're narrow. I was talking with one friend, and he said, I hate to meet these people who say that theirs are the only true church. And I was right close to him. I don't know what I'd been saying to him, but if we'd reached that point, and I did afterwards, I had to tell him that. That our message was that the true and living church of Jesus Christ had been restored to the earth. That's our message. We can't say as other people do, well, you do the best you can. You follow the teachings of the Bible. You live by the golden rule or by the Sermon on the Mount, and that's all you need. Many will say you don't need a church. You can go into the hills and enjoy your Sabbath day and enjoy the wonders of nature. You don't need an intermediary between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things they say because they have their information from an age when men were fashioning the doctrines of a so-called Christianity, a so-called Christian church. We can't say that. We can't say it. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, he repeated time and again that what he was saying as the Father had directed him to say it. He says, this is not my doctrine. It's the doctrine of my Father in heaven. He said, I was with the Father, and I have come into the earth. Again, I leave the earth, and I return to the Father. And he said, the Father sent me, and he told me what I should say and what I should speak. You see how explicit he is in that. And as you remember our great picture of the council in heaven, when the plan of the salvation of the human family was proposed, when it was indicated the Lord was to create an earth for us, we were to come here and live by faith, and if we would live by faith, we would be saved and exalted. We can imagine then how important that message was that the Father sent. So important that he sent his only begotten Son to deliver it. And then to give his life to seal it. And also to establish the resurrection from the dead. And to establish the true and living church of Jesus Christ in his time. All right, what did he say? After he had finished his ministry and told his disciples, whom he had selected that they might know the gospel, know this message that he had brought them, told them to go out now and preach the gospel. He didn't say preach the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't say preach the golden rule. He didn't say tell people to be honest and good neighbors and lead clean lives. All of that's very good, necessary. But he told them to preach this gospel to all the world. And then what did he say? Those that believe shall be saved, and those who will not believe and reject it shall be damned. Now, can we say anything else? Can we temporize? Can we compromise? Can we be ashamed to speak the truth? The truth is narrow. Error broadens out into a million paths, into unending controversy in doctrine. The truth narrows to the truth, when there's nothing else that can be said but the truth. We can't go to any of these churches in the world today and tell them they're just as good as our church is. We may say you're just as good as I am, because the world is full of good people. But our message is to proclaim the truth. We cannot say that Jesus Christ was just a man. We must bear witness that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world, our Savior, our God. That's what we must say. When people say, what can we do to be saved? We can't say, as I saw a man do in a New York church, welcoming people into his church, shook hands with them and said, we welcome you into this church. And that's all he said. We can't do that. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ requires that people shall believe and repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Ghost and then keep the commandments of God. And that's all we can say, and we can't temporize about it. Now, I know that none of us wish to appear to be arbitrary, dogmatic, and in the evil sense, we don't need to be that way. But we need to speak the truth. And in the truest sense, we can only be dogmatic. We must declare the revealed word of God upon which this church stands. And we must speak it without hesitation and without apology. Never let any of us feel ashamed or embarrassed because people make fun of us and ridicule our doctrines and say we're superstitious. And to declare a God in the form of a man belongs to the ages away back when men didn't know anything. Now, where does the narrowness come in? Where does the narrowness come in? When a man says he will not accept supernatural things, he will accept only what his reason tells him is true, or when another man says, I accept all that my reason and my knowledge of facts and cause and effect will tell me is true. I accept all in this little bit of sphere that man operates in. But I do more than that. I accept the revealed word of God, the truth that fills the universe. We believe in accepting revelation, and we expect to continue to accept it. That's not narrowness. That's broad in its aspect. So that's our position. We are full of goodwill towards all men. We are full of toleration for all men. We devote ourselves to the service of all men, without money and without cost. And we devote ourselves to the service of God, but we speak the truth as God has consigned it to us to speak, because we're in dispensation of the fullness of truth. Unless we fall away, cannot live up to this truth, then unfortunately the Spirit of God leaves us and we wander in the dark. If we do not keep the commandments of God and are not true to these revealed truths and disobey them, then gradually the light fades out and we lose the knowledge of the truth and we become darkened. And we don't know we've lost it. We don't know that we're darkened. We may think we're superior, we're more highly educated, but we have become blind. You'll never find a man who keeps the commandments of God, who's true to his obligations, who lives the gospel, who loves it, never getting in the dark that way. So do not be concerned with those who do not believe as we believe. If someone has to be embarrassed or worry, let them worry and let them be embarrassed. But let us hold to the truth. If we are ashamed of Jesus Christ, he will be ashamed of us. And this youth in this church have the truth to proclaim to the world. Keep yourselves pure. Know the doctrines and principles of this church and live by them. And go forth as God has destined us to do, to live the truth and preach the truth and establish his kingdom in the earth until he shall come and take over. I bear my humble witness that this is the church of Jesus Christ, that its doctrines are true, that God lives. He is our Father, and he is our God. That in this church is the power of God and the salvation of all men who will receive it. And if they will not receive this church and its teachings and its doctrines, as the Lord Jesus Christ said when he was here, there must only be damnation that awaits them. Not because it's our church, but because it's the church of Jesus Christ. I bear this humble witness that the prophet Joseph Smith was a glorious prophet of the living God. And I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.